A very special webinar by Alex Collier, held by wolfspirit.tv in association with alexcollier.org.
This is JP. Welcome to our second webinar with Alex, presented by alexcollier.org, represented by James, and Wolf Spirit Radio and Wolf Spirit Media Network, presented by myself. And, well, our last seminar was very, very popular. We've had lots of video on demand, so that's the second phase of it. This is the first phase, and we're on the first phase of the second webinar. Alex is going to speak for a good period of time today. Thank you very much for coming along and attending. I can see you're all raring to go. So please, questions, only ask questions that are relevant to what Alex has been saying. You can ask them, but they won't get answered. You know, I won't put them in the thing. Let's stay all completely focused. And so, without any further ado, here's Alex. Good afternoon, Alex. How are you?
Hey, JP. Hi, James. Good to see you guys again. Thank you so much for the dozens of people who are on this today. We more than appreciate your time, and I have a lot of things to cover today. To give you some current stat, and of course the Q&A, which I really appreciate. I want to cover the frequency, and I'm going to cover current events about what's happening here on planet and off-world as well, to try to keep you guys up to date on what's going on. And I know that there are a lot of other sources, and this is very, very good. I share my perspective and what I've been told. And it is entirely up to you guys to decide what you want to do with the information, as it always has been and always will be. Okay, and that's literally the way it should be. As far as... And we talked about this on the first webinar. The frequency of the planet and the vibration of the planet, the harmonic of the planet, is changing. It has been reported that the Schumann resonance has jumped way over 30. Now, this is both very, very good, if you can keep it in perspective, and it's... It also opens the doors to other things. For example, the positives. The harmonic frequency of the planet and all the planets, which include the sun as well, which is a star, are rising in vibration. We, our DNA, vibration. It is vibrating at a higher rate. And at some point, and I don't know the exact point, it will turn on other parts of our DNA. DNA that's been turned off, it will turn on. And I believe we are approaching that as we speak, because the awakening of the people on the planet is happening exponentially at this point. It may not seem like it, but that's only because a lot of people are, they're progressing with how they feel about what's going on. And what I mean is, they may be talking to loved ones specifically, or they're not actually opening up to loved ones about what it is that they're feeling, the things that they're seeing, the dreams that they're having, the premonitions, the intuitive awakening that they have, both male and female, Of course, the feminine essence has always had that peace, but for men to have that intuitive peace and to really settle into it, well, that's a whole other ball game, and that's something that men should be very excited about, to have that peace, because we have to create that balance of both male and female, not just the warrior, okay? There's a time and a place for that, but when you don't have to be the warrior, you don't need to be the warrior. You know, you can be a nurturing person, parent, father, partner, and it's okay to be vulnerable. And for the men moving into that place, you will be able to absorb the changes and the frequency much better, as opposed to resisting it and saying, I don't know what's happening, what's going on, and move into a fear space or a panic space. You know, this is where you shut your body down. You shut your frequency, your harmonic, your heart. This is where you shut it down when you move into these spaces. You're only going to hurt yourself. Okay. Now I realize that there's an element of trust here. Well, it's definitely time to trust spirit. It is to trust the process that the creator, God, whatever name you attach to that, it is time to move into alignment with that and allow that frequency to come and to permeate you, and you begin to move with the flow. There is no other way around this at this point. Okay? Humanity has been backed into a corner. And the only way that we can really shift this, it's going to shift with or without us, okay, because the earth is shifting. Life forms around us are shifting. Those that don't will be leaving. Those that do will be evolving very, very, very quickly. As this occurs, you know, we just need to be in line. We need to be with the flow of it. And the best way to check yourself that you're in the flow is to be really quiet with yourself. To, again, find a place where you feel safe and you can get really, really quiet within yourself. Feel your own vibration, to feel your own frequency. Okay? I'm going to stress this over and over again. And if we have future webinars, if you guys still want them, we're going to talk some more about this. And in fact, we were talking earlier, James, JP, and myself, about maybe doing a third webinar, if you guys are interested, where we talk about the process of human evolution and the Andromedan perspective of what that is and what that looks like. Because they're not all that different from us, okay? They're really not. And, we can learn some things. It's always good to have the knowledge. If you choose to use it, again, that's entirely up to you. You know, you have free will. You are your own being. But it's always nice to have the information in the event that you decide to do something. You know, it's like trying to build that first 10-speed bicycle that came in a box, but they don't send you the instructions. You know, when you're under the gun because the kids are coming down the stairs to ride that bike and you haven't got it together, you know, no one likes to be in that spot. So, okay, listen, I mentioned earlier that we've sort of been backed into a corner, humanity. The frequency is rising. Unfortunately, most of the major media, they only give us the bad news. They're not talking about the good news. And the good news is that people are waking up exponentially. They are essentially coming into their own. They are feeling more independent. They want things to change dramatically. They are not happy with the current systems that we have on the planet. They are not happy with political correct. They want direct talk. They want direct answers. They want direct conversation. They want to deal with very specific issues. and they want to be very frank in having those conversations. Okay, nobody wants to be politically correct. They want to be able to express how they feel. And a lot of that has been shut down for a very, very long time. Here in the West, particularly the United States, we've had that freedom of expression for quite some time. Of course, it can be abused, and it can be absolutely ridiculous and moronic. And, you know, we've crossed that bridge many times here in the States. But nonetheless, we still have it. And I know that there are a majority of the American people and immigrants who are here in the United States who have come here to experience that, want to keep that free expression. Now, let me explain what's happening. The Schumann residence is jumping through the roof. Now, science tells us it's because of the sun. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our sun, the energy of our sun comes from higher dimensions. And our sun is basically an open portal, which is why this energy continues to flow. Okay? It's coming from fourth, fifth density. At this point, predominantly, it's fifth density, the frequency and the harmonics coming out of our sun. I'm told sometime next year, sixth density frequencies will begin to permeate. And the reason for that is that the vibration of physicality is being raised through fourth into fifth. So we are beginning to see the integration. This is why I said earlier, when we first opened the webinar today, that it's important to find that place where you can get quiet and settle yourself into the flow of what is, all right? If you do, things will go a lot easier. And you'll be more aware of things that are changing, and you will become more aware of opportunities in your field of existence. You will be living with more intent. You will be doing things with more intention that will serve you. And what I mean by that is you'll be minimizing careless mistakes. You won't be reacting emotionally and then trying to take it back. If you stay in the flow, spiritually, your spiritual guidance will lead you first to where you need to be or to the relationships you want to have. It's imperative that we try to stay focused and we go with the flow. And we're going to talk some more about that next time, the next couple of weeks, if you're interested in a third webinar. So here's what's going on. We're moving into the galactic plane. We have all this cosmic energy bombarding our planet. You have the planet itself raising its vibration. You have humanity on the surface. Whether they like it or not, their vibration is rising. Some people handle it better, some people aren't. But again, it's a choice. Okay, it's a choice as to how they're going to handle it. What we have in the middle is we have the regressives. And their space of influence is getting smaller and smaller and smaller as they're being bombarded from both sides of this frequency. Now, typically what they have done is they lash out. They will lash out not only at their minions, but also those that they have suppressed or enslaved. Okay? This is how they act. Now, I want you to know, and this falls in line with some of the things that other contactees have been saying, there are boots on the ground. There are some here who are acting as referees. There are others as observers. And then there are those who are not either, who are literally pushing back, okay, assisting humanity. So I want you to know that there are boots on the ground, because this is accelerating. This entire process is accelerating very quickly. Now, if you remember, I think it was 1983 when Ronald Reagan addressed the United Nations, and he talked about, you know, how we would all drop all of our differences if there were an attack on Earth. I want you to know that up until this point, that was the closest the United States government ever came to actually doing disclosure. Reagan wanted to do it. Okay, he really did. And in his own way, he did it, because he made reference to that at least three times during his presidency. However, he wasn't given appropriate information. It's no shock or surprise there, because they've tried to keep our presidents with plausible deniability. So this leads me into where we're going. There is a chance that some dramatic things will be happening on the planet. Understand, none of these are random. These are staged. They're planned. Lashing out from the rulers, the cabal, whatever you want to call them, which are both some human, some extraterrestrial, okay, at humanity because of their own frustrations, because their frequency, their band that they exist on is getting smaller. Okay, so they're getting a little upset. They're getting pissed off, quite frankly, because their game is over. Now, it's also come to my attention that the minions, who are not the brain trust of this plan to enslave humanity for thousands of years, they have been given an option. And my understanding is that some of them are taking that option. Those who do not, they will be paying the piper. They will be treated aggressively for what they have done to evolving races. I also want you to know that I have been told that out of the 21 other star systems who were experiencing the same kind of issues we were experiencing here, 14 of those star systems have been freed of this group, of this cabal, or the Orion Consortium. That's how the A's have talked about it, and I've mentioned this in the past, the Orion Consortium. So 14 have been freed, and there's, you know, just a few that are still going through the process. But those humanities on those star systems are going through virtually the same type of process we're going through, where we are backed into a corner where humanities on that, those planets and ours are being backed into a corner, and really the only alternative we have to free ourselves is to evolve spiritually. So in many respects, when we get over this hump and we have evolved ourselves spiritually through fourth into fifth, we will have these regressives to thank for it. You know, we may not get to that place for a while, because we should have been there already, but that's what's happening. I know that there's quite a bit of talk regarding asteroids and meteors hitting the planet. I want you to know that if any do hit this planet, it's done on purpose. It is not a natural phenomena at this point, because there is so much hardware out there. There's just no way. It's possible that the cabal could bring something from the asteroid field and then throw it at the Earth to swing our emotions from one extreme to the other, because, you know, they feed off of that crap. You know, when they create all this strife and all this fear, this is food for them. They feed off this stuff. So that's a possibility, but there's no way it's coming in here, because the benevolence at this point, ladies and gentlemen, they really have our back. It's just, you know, we're hostages on our own planet, and there's this very elaborate holographic multi-dimensional chess game going on. At the same time, they're not trying to violate our free will, the benevolence I'm referring to. So it's interesting, and it's extremely complicated. It just is, and it changes all the time. Because intentions change, agendas change, etc. Now, I know that there are probably a lot of folks, dozens of you on this webinar. Some of you, the ET thing is just like, oh my God, it's just so big, it's overwhelming. And I get that. And is it really important to know? Yeah. But is it mandatory to know? No, it isn't. It is not mandatory to know. I personally want to know all the pieces of the puzzle. So let me just say this to you. To those of you who don't even want to deal with the extraterrestrial thing or the exopolitics field in general, where there are so many people trashing each other, it's like politics, you know? It's become a circus, and that's a shame. But to those of you who are just kind of disgusted with the exopolitics field because of all the trashing, the bottom line is this. You don't have to pay any attention to it. Pay attention to your own frequency. Pay attention to your dreams, your visions. Connect yourself to nature and to all that is, whatever you call that. Okay? Find your flow and evolve yourself spiritually. Now is the time to do it. If you've, you know, wanted to devote your time to dancing, to music, to trying to figure out ways to do what you need to do, to find joy, to make yourself happy, now is the time to do it. If it's going for a hike, if it's camping, if it's horseback riding, if it's ballroom dancing, whatever it is that brings you joy and gives you a place of spiritual resonance, now's the time to do it. And be selfish about it. It's okay to be selfish about it because this is about you, right? All of this ET stuff, it's still all about us, okay? There is no separating us from everything that's happening. But the bottom line is, this is about us. This is about our humanity, and this is about us individuals becoming a complete humanity, an integrated and full humanity. Be selfish in your spiritual evolution. Take the time that you need to do it. If you sat down with your families and you said, look, I need so much time a week. I need to do this or I need to do that. And this is what it's going to take for me to do this. You know, then do that. Maybe by example, your kids will unplug from their cell phones and from their video games for a while to do this themselves. It now is the time to do it because things are moving very, very quickly. And the rising of humanity's consciousness is happening exponentially now. There are going to be a lot of amazing things going on. Now, I also want to give you current stat off-world. If you remember the A's information when I first started talking 24 years ago about this, one of the first things that they shared with me was that tyranny had showed up 800 years in our future in the galaxy. And they had come back in time to find out where that began, how it happened. And it brought them back to our solar system. Well, when I was in Mount Shasta at the conference that Robert Potter sponsored for many people, Dr. Michael Sala did an incredible presentation. And he has a new book out, which I've not read, nor do I own yet, regarding the secret space programs. Just get into it. Where was I when we got cut off?
again. Regressives and how the Orion Consortium is being squeezed from above and below.
All right. Okay, so, yes, their space of influence is narrowing because our vibration is rising, and so is that of the solar system. And a lot of it has to do with the plasma belt as we're crossing the galactic plane and the incredible frequencies that are coming from the higher dimension. Now, remember, in previous years, the information was is that a brand new dimension had been created, and the frequencies were coming down, seeping down, lifting up third density. This is it. We're in the throes of it, and this is what everybody is beginning to see. Science can clearly know that this is happening. They just can't explain it because they're not approaching this from a spiritual sense. Eventually, they'll get to that place. Okay, so I had continued to talk.
Yeah, you were talking about Michael Sala, apparently, Alex.
Yes, and I want to talk about Dr. Michael Sala. When I was in Shasta at the conference that Robert Potter put on for everyone there, which was excellent, by the way, Michael Sala's presentation had to do with the secret space program, and apparently he has a new book out, which I've not seen or read, nor do I own, but his presentation was remarkable in the fact that now the people, the insiders that he's talking to and the information that he has been given has to do with the fact that when we signed on with the Orion Consortium, which was a bad move, they basically played us. They absolutely played us. And what they did was they created this hierarchy because they think holographically. They created this hierarchy, and they had different lies and different agendas on each level. And essentially what happened was they were able to present themselves that they were going to save humanity from an attack, an extraterrestrial invasion. And they wanted to help us arm us and give us weaponry so that we could defend ourselves. Well, they were actually the invaders. Okay, they were the invaders. And what's happening and what's happened over the many years now is that we have been building the weapons for them. And they have been arming other rogue groups in our galaxy and beyond with weaponry that our space programs have been building. This is why when the A's came back and when they discovered tyranny in their future, they came back and they came to our solar system. And that's because unbeknownst to us, we are a part of this tyranny that shows up in their future. And then when I say unbeknownst, it's because, yes, we're creating these weapons, but the true agenda behind it is not what the different levels have been taught or been told. Now, the benevolents know this. They know we've been played. This is not the first time something like this has happened, especially with this group, this Orion Consortium group of rogues, regressives. But this is kind of where it ends. And this is why the minions have been given a deal. You know, you need to flip. You need to start doing something positive for humanity, or you need to just buzz out of here. The rulership of this agenda, there is no such deal. They're going to have to deal with what they've done. Now, I don't know if you were on for this, but in previous years, there were 22 other star systems that were going through the same kind of a scenario we are. 14 of those have been freed as of recently. The remainder are still having some issues to deal with, like we are. Okay, but 14 are free now from this Orion Consortium rogue agenda. So this is very, very promising. humanity's again backed into a corner. We spiritually have to evolve ourselves. And if we can do a third webinar without them interfering, we will do that. And I will share with you basically how we should proceed, or I should say the Andromedans' suggestions on how we could proceed. It's, of course, entirely up to everybody else to do this. Okay? This is your life. This is your reality. You're the creator of it. I'm just here to assist in giving you the knowledge and some tools. I'm not the only one. There are many other people out there who are offering assistance, along with boots on the ground. So this is happening, okay? There is no stopping this. There flat is no way to stop this. They can do things to the planet. They can do things to humanity, the regressives I'm talking about, to try to, you know, get us to jump into fear and slow down our frequency, okay? But this process is happening. What we need to all do is embrace it in a very benevolent, mature, spiritual way, and go with the flow. That's what we have to do. I'm going through this process just like you, and I will be sharing with you, you know, my processes and what I'm trying to do to make this happen for me and for those around me. And so, you know, I will freely give you what I know and what I experience. So anyway, we're in the middle of this thing, okay? And I was blown away, to say the least, to find out that our humanity is being used to do this, to create this tyranny. But there's a part of me that isn't surprised, because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're a remarkable race. I mean, we are a genetic royalty. You know, we have no clue of our own potential. I mean, we're just so remarkable, and I'm just so in awe of what we are capable of doing, both light and dark, you know. But we have to focus our intent on creating positive energy, to taking a very positive path, because, you know, we can really shift and shape the future of not only our race, but, you know, we have gifts that we're not even aware of that we can help and share with other races. And I think we have a responsibility to do that. I do. You know, we can be Avengers. We can be Avengers, you know. And I'm a guy, and, you know, to be the warrior and to be the hero, I'm all down with that. I'm down with that. You know, and to help other evolving races and even those beyond us, once we fully realize what our gifts truly are, you know, I'm all down with that. And I am down with our humanity, taking some kind of a leadership role, whatever that is, whether it's now or in the future generations. I think we have a responsibility to make this happen. Even if it's future generations from now, you know, 10 generations from now, when they fully realize and all their DNA is up and on and working, you know, we have a responsibility here as parents, as forefathers, to make this happen. We do. And I think we can. I genuinely believe that we can. So I want to say that the benevolent groups are doing everything they can to send information to the planet. We also have information coming to humanity from the sun, okay, because it's an open portal. The different levels of our off-world space programs are getting information. They too are evolving. And I can tell you there is some resistance. There's a lot of resistance going on. There's a lot of pushback. This is all very, very positive. Okay? And I'm just gonna say this because I know the cabal is listening, or eventually they'll get this, and you know they're listening to all of us. I mean, you know, there are levels of the military that listen to not only this, because they realize that the information that they're getting from higher levels is mostly crap. Okay, so what they've done is they're coming to the humanity, to the people, because they know we're getting the information and our agendas are not anything close to what's going on up there. Okay, we just want to raise our families, you know, not live in poverty, eat good food, and raise our children in safety, you know, and we want to have joy in our lives. So that's our agenda. Okay, so, and that should be everybody's agenda on this planet, or in the universe. That should be everybody's agenda. So I just want to say to the cabal, you need to let us go. Okay, you need to move on. You need to just let us go. You need to let us go. You need to just go away. Okay, it's we no longer want this. And you just need to let us go. Just go away. Please, just go away. I'm sorry we got cut off there, but, you know, this happens a lot. JP, are you there?
I am indeed, and okay. Everything's well. I've got the picture up there because it's disturbing for me to kind of be wandering around. So I've just got
okay,
that.
Well, that's fine. Are there any questions?
Are there any questions?
Millions. Questions.
So let's. Do you want to start fielding some questions?
Yes, sir. I do. I want to know what the people want to talk about.
All right. Well, let's go from the beginning. And one of the popular questions here, let's try and bring a few together, is black goo, nano goo, maybe connected is toxic mold coming from chemtrail planes. So I don't know if they're connected or whether it's the same thing. So the black goo, Alex.
Okay, the black goo that there are some places on the planet where it has shown in underground facilities. I also know that the Black Knights satellites that are throughout the galaxy have it. Basically, what we're dealing with is a liquid software that has artificial intelligence. That's what it is. That's how it's been presented to me. It's liquid software that has artificial intelligence. I do not know the chemical makeup of it. It isn't all that rare. I mean, many, many craft have a type of liquid software embedded in its metal, in its organic structure, which is how it heals itself. You know, the intelligence of the liquid software knows to heal and to patch up holes and to repair the crafts. That's what it is. That's what it does. So that's all I have at the moment on that. But it's liquid software with artificial intelligence.
Interesting concept. So, okay, so coming on, I'll try and get through these questions really quick. Right, there's a question from Denise.
The chemtrails. I don't know what the chemtrails are. The goo is. I sincerely don't know. I have honestly not had enough time to research it, nor have, you know, I have a list of questions, and whenever I have contact and telepathy is engaged, you know, my questions just go out the window because I'm so engaged in conversations. So,
and it covers loads of different topics, not just so this is just a focus.
Well, it's information, it's emotions, it's feelings, it's all encompassing, you know. So, okay, questions.
Okay, next question. And this is a interesting one from Denise. I don't know if this is Dennis or Denise. Oh, Denny. Anyway, how can one get in contact with Andromedans that are in the spaceship nearby, either physically or telepathically?
I don't know that there's any one way to do it.
Yeah.
I simply don't. Just continue with focused intent. I mean, because, I mean, that's what I do. I send in a focused intent out there with very specific questions, with a very specific a frequency that I want returned back to me, and that is joy. Okay, love, compassion. And, you know, I wait, just like everybody else, for a response. So I don't have one way to tell you to do it. I wish I did, because I would share that with you.
Is the period of time when you wait, does that change? Has that kind of gotten shorter or longer, or is it more
there is immediate? No pattern to it. There is no pattern to it whatsoever. There never has been.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so thank you. Here, now, this is a question that came up in my mind, and you talked about the A's and the other groups finding this tyranny in the future. Now, since we have been on this process and you have been putting this message out, has the future changed?
Yes, it has. It's been altered, for sure. And that was the whole point of coming back in time to mm-hmm. to now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what that outcome is, I don't exactly know. But you have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, we're an integral part of this. We are players in this scenario. There is no getting around that. We are players in this scenario. And we need to embrace this process. Because, I mean, you got to remember, the regressives came to us. The benevolence came to us. This is really about us. Okay? We, a group of humanity decided to do what they did. But it doesn't change the fact that the majority of humanity, which is us, you know, we have a completely different agenda. You know, we want a very specific type of life and an existence. And it isn't, you know, it isn't regressive. It just isn't. So we need to step up. We need to step up our game. We need to embrace this process, whatever it is. And I realize there is a great deal of trust and faith and risk in this process. And I'm not exactly sure where it's all going. But how could engaging with the Creator, how can being joyful, how can loving each other, how can being kind to each other and having mutual respect for everyone be a bad thing? There's no way it is. Okay? And that's truly our strength. We just have to know that. And we have to embrace this process and say, you know, say to the regressives, kiss my ass, this is what we're going to do. And we need to just go for it. You know? And we need to just leave this garbage behind. You know, just swing out of this nightmare that they've created for us. You know, and humanity steers the ship, not governments. Oh my God. We can't do that. We can't trust these people to do anything right. Okay? Humanity has to manage the governments. Okay? Not the other way around. Remember, it's the people who created the governments. Okay? It wasn't the government here first and said, okay, we're going to create people to be our servants and minions. That's not how it happened. Okay? It's quite the other way around. And that's what we need to do, and that's what we need to remember. Okay? We need to take back our power. Next question.
Say, Alex, that the government was something that came in and imposed itself on humanity. That idea.
After it convinced people, that they couldn't take care of themselves. You see, that's where it was. You know, you can't take care of yourself. Well, wait a minute, we've been doing it for thousands and thousands of years. Okay. And we, you know, we succumbed. We gave our power away, you know, thinking, oh, you know, they'll take responsibility. Well, that hasn't worked out well for us, has it?
No, it hasn't worked out very well at all. So we need, I mean, this is the thing, you know, they're all saying, oh, you've got this contract, you know, you agreed to this and we're just doing what you agreed to and you've got no excuse and all this stuff. But obviously they deceived us into that agreement. And that's their way of being very deceptive. How we need to deprogram ourselves from the idea of the need for government, to be government. And for many people, this is a real challenge because they've never experienced autonomy before. Well, how would you speak on that?
Does government serve a purpose? Yes. Governments originally were created to serve the people. Now it's the other way around. Now we serve the government. And, well, it is what it is. You know, in answering that question, this is why I say that it's important for humanity in order to make the next step, to jump to the next level, is we need mentoring because we don't know how to get to that next level. We're not even sure what it looks like because we're not there yet. And I think that's why it's important that we have some type of mentoring to get to this next level, to know what to expect, to know, you know, what are our responsibilities in this process. What I'm saying is, or that the only thing that I can take responsibility for is evolving myself spiritually and to be an example to all those around me and to embrace the process of change to joy and mutual respect. You know, I don't have all the answers. Oh my God, I just simply don't. I'm just one of the cogs in the wheel, folks, just like you.
Thank you. So, there's lots of different topics here.
You know, maybe before you go anywhere, I saw something here. Somebody mentioned my children and Stanley. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to discuss Stanley, but let me just say this. I have been trying to reach my children for over 4 years, my children. And I have sent cards, letters for 4 years. And none of them have ever come back. I don't know. They're sent to a P.O. box in Santa Rosa, Florida. And none of them have ever come back. They all have return address on them, phone numbers, everything. My daughter's birthday card that I sent for the first time, certified, where she would have to sign for it, came back undeclared. So I don't know what you're being told, but there are two sides. There are way two sides to the story. And I want my children to know that I love them. I think of them every day. I pray for them every day, and Dad is here. Dad wants to talk to you, okay? But at this point, I cannot get past the gatekeepers. So now that that's out there, those of you who think you know, you don't know shit, okay? There you go. Next question.
Thank you. It's always good to set things straight, isn't it? People have their opinions. Here's a very interesting. So this is from Laura Clayton. Warm greetings to Alex and all who are listening. When the CERN attempt fired up didn't go as planned, it was explained to me that a particularly negative faction of the draconian reptiles are trapped here. Is that true, and what does that mean for us here?
Okay, when the CERN, is that what you said?
Yeah, CERN. When they fired up CERN, some beings got through. I think what the idea is, some beings got through, and some didn't. When So, what happened? What's the real story? What do you know?
Okay. Well, what I've been told, nobody got through, and nobody's leaving. That isn't supposed to leave. The designers, the leaders of this consortium. They're not going anywhere. They will be leaving Earth, but they are not going to be allowed to roam the galaxy anymore. Everybody's done with this nonsense. It is time for everything to evolve, and everything's going to be given that opportunity to make that choice without being suppressed, influenced, or enslaved. So there is a group that's here, and hopefully they will be leaving very soon and will be what we would call incarcerated very, very soon in some galactic federal prison.
Hopefully with very high security. Now, that brings us to the... now, there's a couple of questions about this. And it's connected with the idea of the Earth being, quote, a prison planet, or a planet that has been used to imprison people with. And that's a very significant difference. You know, one implies that it's just a place and it was quarantined, so people, beings have been thrown down here to get stuck into the quarantine just because it's convenient. Like a hole that people can be thrown into, or that it was originally designed as a prison planet, and that's the whole purpose of life on Earth. But I don't really subscribe to that personally. What's the A's opinion, and what's your feeling about it?
Okay, that's a great question, and this is probably a great opportunity to sweep away a lot of bullshit or nonsense. Okay. No, the Earth was never designed to be a prison planet, okay? In fact, during Atlantis, it was basically a galactic open port. There were many different races here. They were coming and going. There was an enormous amount of sharing of knowledge, of technology that was going on here. There was a thriving, advanced civilization on the planet at the time. And until someone picked a war with the Plejarans, a.k.a. Pleiadians, or whatever they're calling themselves this month, that's when everything changed. And if it weren't for the war, if it weren't for the meteors and the comets, or the asteroids that were thrown at planet Earth, which caused it to tilt on its axis, a lot of things would have been different. It would have been a very different outcome and scenario. But that's in the past. There is nothing we can do about that now. All we can do is deal with what we have going forward from this point. Okay? Hello? Is anybody there?
Oops, sorry. Didn't have the thing turned up enough. I was in the kitchen. So the throwing rocks, it's a very ancient warlike technique. I've got a little issue about Pleiadians / Plejarans. Are they this, so the Pleiades,
know.
Right?
There's 100 stars. I don't know that they are. JP, I don't know that they are.
Are they just? Are they posing? Is it like a false flag sort of thing?
And that's not even an area I even want to get to, okay? I'm just, The Pleiadians themselves have admitted to doing this. Let's just leave it there. Okay? What's the next question? You know, I mean, okay. There's too much infighting with exopolitics already. I don't even want to go there. ladies and gentlemen, this is what I've been told. I've shared it with you. You know, ultimately, with everything that's out there and everything that you're exposed to, you make decisions about what you want to believe or not, or what feels right. And that's what I'm saying. You just go with an intuitive gut feeling about what feels right to you. And you just go from there, okay? Use your own intuition. I'm just sharing the information. Okay, go. JP.
Okay, right. Okay, well, there's a few questions about, how can I put this? Universal human rights, if that is a sort of concept that is possible, you know, it's not necessarily human, you know, universal being rights. Number one, are the Andromedans involved in applying or enforcing universal law? Or does universal law just kind of enforce itself because that's the nature of the universe?
Exactly.
The whole idea of human rights and stuff like that was, you know, how does this connect with us?
Well, you know, I know the movies, they talk about that, and I know many metaphysical books talk about universal law. Is there a law? Is there, I guess it all depends on your definition of law. Life, spiritual life, evolves. It evolves by itself because it's connected to source, to all that is. If that's a law, then okay. Is there one way to do one thing and another way not to? I don't think so. If you harm someone or you violate someone's free will, is there a law against that? Apparently so. But, you know, I don't know that these laws are written down anywhere on tablets. You know, I just know that the higher you evolve, for example, above fifth density and above, you are dealing with the feminine principle. Third and fourth, predominantly male, okay, which is probably why there's so much conflict there, because we have it all wrong. We're just completely confused about what the male energy is supposed to represent. It's been twisted and perverted into something different than what it really was meant to be. Okay. All of this somehow gets sorted out when you get to fifth density. It's just like, you know, maybe tapping into the universal frequency, you get it. We get the downloads of this is what it's supposed to be, this is what evolution is, this is proper behavior, this is not. But I am not aware of any book that races carry around saying, well, wait a minute, chapter 6, paragraph 13 says this. I'm not aware of any of that, okay?
Universal book of law.
Life finds a way, especially when you're on the spiritual path. You always end up where you're supposed to be.
So, and then jumping from that, we've been talking about being in the flow, going with the flow. We were talking a little bit at the before the show, it's quite unexpected the way that we find ourselves in the flow. I was giving an example is that, you know, I was looking for a wire, and I've got a table over here. I'm in an audio studio. I've got cables everywhere, and I've been tidying them up. And I was looking for a particular cable, and it's difficult to find. You have to look at the ends of all of them. And I walked over to the table, and my hand went down onto the table, you know, just to, like, lean on it. And I found that, as I say, I squeezed my hand and picked up, that was exactly the cable that I was looking for. I didn't even use my eyes, brain, hand connection, that my hand automatically went to that cable. Now, that's a very trivial example, but can you talk a little bit about the flow of spontaneity as we move into a place of manifesting thoughts directly into the physical?
Well, I'm experiencing it just like everybody else is. I don't know that I have any more insight into it than you or anybody else in that sense. I just know that when we're not in our own way, things go really, really smooth. And there's almost no effort to it, ever. You know? And things happen. It's almost like you're living beyond time. It's not like you're even in time. It's an altered reality. But yet at the same time, you're present here, but you also know that you're present on another level, because that's where the information's coming from, is from another level.
Yeah,
I'm learning it just like everybody else.
Yeah, and it's very hard to decide whether it's coming from the inside or the outside.
It comes from the inside out, yes. But the inside is also on another dimension or frequency. Okay? We're multidimensional, and that's where it's coming from.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, when the physical body dies, the soul leaves the body. Okay? So clearly the energy of the soul is not coming from the body, because it exists outside the body. It comes from another place. The harmonic, the frequency of the soul, comes from another place. Mm-hmm. Okay, now if you're not in the physical, then you're in the non-physical. That means your source is from another dimension, another frequency. It isn't that hard to get.
Okay,
now let's do some more questions.
Somebody's trying to call me on the dial-in line for Wolf Spirit, so please don't do that. You ain't going to get through. This is okay, so yes. All right, yeah, and going back to the question that you answered earlier, in that, you know, if tyranny is no longer a factor in the future, what kind of future do they have? I mean, asking where the future...
It's what do we want? Okay, see, this is where we're coming to. Okay, when this element is removed and we are left to our own intentions, what do we want? What kind of humanity, what kind of lifestyle, what kind of future do we want? We still have to create this. Okay? No one's going to create this for us. We have to create it. Okay? But we have to be totally dialed in to not only who we are, but what our past is and what our options are as we move into the future. Okay? But we're the ones who have to do this work. No one's going to come in and do it. Even mentoring, they will come in with suggestions and say, okay, these are your options. These are the things that you can do now. These are the tools that you have presently, and this is what you can do with them. Where do you want to go as a humanity? What is it that you want so we can help you get there? They're not going to make the decisions for us. This is what I mean when I say we have to step up.
Yeah. So, and we thought, you know, we now, I think we're pretty clear these days of what we don't want.
Exactly.
And I think this is the point that you made earlier. The regressives have actually given us an education in what we don't want. And this is the same, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, how do I, you know, I want a new lover. I want to find my lover. And, you know, what qualities do you want in a lover and things like that. You write it down. And the best ways is off, you know, all the things that you didn't like about the relationships that you had before.
JP, let's get to the questions for
let's
people.
Let's go, and I'll okay. stop jabbering.
This is our done.
Do Andromeda, this is from Denise again, do Andromeda babies, when they are born, remember everything from their previous incarnations, or do they need to learn things like how to walk and talk, etc.? Yeah, what comes from the our soul and what comes from our physical?
Okay, here's what I know. I've never been present for the birth of an Andromedan child, but what I have been told is that they're all born in water, and yes, they have full recognition of who they were before they came in. And as they grow and mature physically and mentally, there are some things that they have to learn. For example, however much time it was when they were not in the physical form, as far as the the law of consistency, in other words, however, let's say that they have not been in part of the Andromedan civilization, I'll use that as an example, the Andromedan civilization for, let's say, 350 years in their time between physical incarnations, they would have to make that up. And the Yeis do that. The youngest, as they're growing up, are taught everything that is now present. It is called the law of consistency. Okay? They don't say, okay, well, you can't learn about this information because you're not part of a black project or you are not a science teacher. So, you know, these sciences are restricted to pharmaceutical companies or to aerospace companies. They don't do any of that crap. Okay? Everybody is the same. Everybody learns what is real now and present. Okay? This is why these benevolent civilizations are so strong. They don't handicap their own race, their own people. It's insanity to do something like this.
Like that baby.
To set it up for failure. It's just nuts. And the children learn all this, yes. You know, their children are probably far smarter than anyone on this planet.
I remember you saying that they don't even get out of school till they're 70.
They go to school for 150 years, our time. Yes.
Holy Lord. So that time, and there was a question about time here, and basically the illusion of time. Let me see if I can find the exact question about time. There's another question. I couldn't find that one. How or when will ETs on this planet wake up? I mean, I think they're talking about like starseed ETs rather than sort of actual ETs. Are they coded for a specific time?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Is that a secret piece of plan that we're not supposed to know about?
I don't know that. I don't know that. I would think the only ones who would know would be those who have come in as starseeds. I think on some level they know.
Cool. So I found the time question. Alex, this is from Beck. Alex, is time absolute or relative? Some days feel like they go very quickly and others very slow. Why is this?
I think time is relative to whatever somebody thinks it is. Depending upon your focus on time or your lack of focus on time, that's how time exists. Okay? To say that time is an absolute, no, it is not an absolute. It is a construct that many lower dimensional existences use in order to measure change, in order to manage and to measure change. The A's don't live in time anywhere close to we do. In fact, you know, when there was a period where I spent time on their mothership, the women were concerned because they thought I was ill or sick because I needed to sleep so much. I needed to take so many naps. and that is because, to give you an example, one of their days, and God, this was many, many years ago, so unless it's changed, one of their days was equivalent to 33 of our days. So,
oh, I see.
So, you know, they're in one day, and they can't understand why I need to sleep so much.
Oh, bless. So it's like, you know, you'd spend a month in one of their days.
Yes.
And is that because of the dimension? Is that because of fifth dimension? Or
their perspective on reality. It is the intention that their race has in creating their reality.
Right, so they actually can, they're creating their own time in which you're stepping into.
And this is why many races that visit the planet live for thousands of years.
Oh, I see. So that's why it appears that the gods are immortal.
That's because they have a completely different construct of time. You know, why would they look and say, like we do here, the average life expectancy of a man is, 74? Or 72, or 71, and a woman is 76, 78. Why would we even program that into our heads? Right? But that's what they do to us all the time.
That's right. And that's, it's, you know, part of that book thing.
Yes. So, it's part of that enslavement thing.
Yeah. Right. Right.
They live long enough to consume and to be good little slaves, but not long enough where they figure everything out.
Yes. Yeah, because, you know, I'm in my late 50s and I'm starting to figure things out. And now it's like, it's not too late because I can speak.
And now you start thinking about mortality, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a raw deal. It really is.
All right. So here's a question. And this is another question on it's asked at a particular level. So let's look at this, and we were talking about, again, this word before, is the word system, which comes from the Roman word for sewer. So now, if we substitute the word sewer, have the Andromedans given you any tips on how to abolish the monetary sewer? Would the end of the monetary sewer be a fatal blow to the Illuminati? I think the question almost answers itself.
I would have to say, for the most part, it would go in tandem with fear, with created and managed fear. If we could eliminate these two elements, yeah, I think humanity would make a huge leap. Now, what does life look like without a monetary system? You know, we have some history of here on Earth of where, you know, people lived off the grid and they, you know, they raised their own food. They bartered services and things. At this point, that's the only model. Now, for humanity to make the leap together and join the galactic community, again, I would have to say at this point, I don't know that we know how to do that by ourselves. I would think some mentorship would be needed in order to teach us how to release the monetary system and all the fears that go with it to embrace living a true and authentic free life. I think that there is some mentoring that would have to accompany that transition, you know, because we haven't done it. None of us have done it here that I'm aware of, you know, that are native to Earth. You know?
So let's talk about mentoring. We've had a couple of questions about mentors. So I'm going to actually use the search facility if that works. Two matches. Right. First question from Vanessa. Will the A's help with mentoring? Let me just grab the second question. This is from Lauren. When we are mentored, will we be given technology to improve our health? I am specifically talking about the holographic camera.
Okay.
Two mentoring questions.
I addressed this before several years ago. When disclosure occurs, when humanity, and I do not know how this looks, okay, and I do not know when this is going to occur, but when humanity is free and we ask for assistance, there will be a multiple of races that have a genetic connection to Earth, and only those that have a genetic connection to races on the planet. Introductions will be made. As far as, and at that point, presentations will be made to all of Earth we as a collective will decide what we want to do at that point. Okay? This is a little different than what we're used to. Okay? Presentations will be made. We will also be introduced to the galaxy as well. Now, as far as technology, they will not be giving us technology right off the bat. However, what they will do is they will say, okay, you have this technology already on your planet. You know, you can take these circuit boards, you can tweak it just this way, and it will do this. You have this technology, and if you tweak it just that way and add it to this particular piece of technology that you have, you can use it in this way. According to the A's, we already have the technology available to make the holographic camera here on Earth. And in fact, I've heard that Simon Parks has mentioned that that he's already heard we have these cameras, and some of the black, you know, some of the...
Randy Kramer mentioned it.
Oh, Randy Kramer, okay. That we already have this technology. So what they would do first is show us the technology that we do have, show us how to use it responsibly before they would introduce us to anything else. Okay? In other words, as we would learn to trust them, they would learn to trust us. Okay? It's a relationship. That's what it's about.
Thank you. Now, we're coming to the end. I think we'll do a little bit extra time, but you have to go, don't you?
Well, no, let's just keep going until they knock on the door and tell me to
kick them. Right, so this is from Lenka. I have heard... don't tell anyone. Speak quietly. I've heard that the number of light workers is 144,000. Why is this number so important? Do you know?
I think that, you know, I'm not sure what that number actually is synonymous with, but I know that that's simply not true. It is, it's a lot more than that. Take that number and multiply it by 100,000, okay? Just everybody here has the potential to be a light worker. End of story. We all carry light. The only ones that don't are those that are artificial intelligence. If you have a soul, you carry light. So I don't buy into that number at all.
Excellent. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. Okay. And here we are, the question that we've all been waiting for. A couple of years ago, you and I did a conversation about incoming. Do you want to address what's going on with the incoming, whatever it might be, object, dark star, planet, Nibiru?
I don't have any more information than what I've already shared with you guys, other than the fact that it is in fact coming. And there is enough hardware in our solar system at this point that, do you remember the movie Guardians of the Galaxy?
Not personally, but okay. I never saw it, but go.
It's on DVD, and I only bring this up because of the analogy. There is this bad guy in the movie who wants to come down to Prime, Nova Prime, and he wants to take his magic wand and strike it to the planet and destroy it. Okay? And what these Nova Primes do is they link all their ships together and they create like this rug, this carpet, this wall, okay, to mitigate his advancing dark ship. Well, essentially, that is what's going to happen at some point here, because as X comes in and comes up from behind the sun, it will come across and leave our solar system, crossing on top of our planet. And the concern is that its magnetic field will grab hold of our North Pole, magnetic north, and pull the planet over. Of course, displacing all the water. Well, the plan is to create this layer above us so that the shield of ships will take the hit as opposed to the planet. That's not to say that we won't feel, that the planet itself will not feel or go through some kind of geological changes. You know, but why be here to help and assist and bring in all of this equipment and personnel if you weren't here to help humanity survive something that happens to the planet like this? And, you know, the intention is for us to survive and to carry on and at least have the opportunity ourselves to evolve and get with the program. So that's all I know. I don't know anything more than that at this time. If I get any more, I will let you know.
Okay, because we've got a lot of people here in the chat who are quite, you know, they're in the States. They're concerned that the U.S. will be, you know, subject to changes. Shifts, earthquakes, things like that.
And that's a very real concern. The United States is definitely in the crosshairs. And, I mean, I've said this, you know, years ago, if you're within 150 miles of a coastline, you know, you should consider moving inland. But I can't make those decisions for people. And people, you know, will more than likely wait until the very last minute and procrastinate until maybe it's too late and say, you know, we should have left. But, you know, I understand. People, they have their lives, they have their homes, their families. You know, I get all that. You know, this is why I say you need to listen to your own intuition. You need to go to that place and get with the flow because you will get your answers. But, you know, in order to get answers, you've got to ask questions, you know. And you got to stop all the chatter, all the outside, okay? The real treasure, the real essence of you is on the inside. It is not on the outside, okay? And ladies and gentlemen, you have to make that journey in. I can't do it for you. If I could, I would, but I can't. I have my own journey that I'm on. You know.
Excellent. So we are all journey. We're all finding out, really. I mean, it's like nobody's an expert on this. And in fact, everybody's an expert at the same time because we've all experienced our own experiences.
You know, that JP, that's a great thing. And I once asked Visayas about ascended masters, and he looked at me like I was crazy, okay? And because his response was, you know, no one's a master of anything. Everything changes. Everything's evolving. You know, even the isness is continuously evolving. How can anything or anyone master anything when it's constantly evolving and changing? So think about that.
Okay, that's great. I've got a couple. Here's a couple of sort of personal questions, which is basically, would you be interested in doing personal consultations? And there's a couple of invitations to different radio shows, interviews, and things like that. So I'll pass those on.
We can talk about that offline.
Yeah. We'll pass those on. Okay, so that's the. I'm just going through all the questions, we can. Do the Andromedans have any significance about like groups of 12 or groups of 9? You know, we always hear about these councils of 9. Is that just fake, or are there actual why 12?
Okay, well, you know, there are councils, there are groups that meet, there are dignitaries from different star systems that meet in different places. I assume that there are councils or meetings, groups of beings. Is there any significance to the number? That I don't know. I've learned a long time ago that many things that we hold to be very mystical here are not necessarily mystical at all. We have put a significance to it because of something we were taught that isn't a reality for other star systems or other races. It only has significance to us because we've attached a significance to it. That doesn't make it universal.
Thank you. Right. Okay, here's a question. Back down to Earth. Who is the Pope? Who is he really? Who really is the... I think there's you know, we have a lot of questions about this apparently beneficent character who is actually...
I guess we'll all find out. We will all find out.
Good question.
I guess we'll all find out together.
Yeah, because, I mean, basically he's coming to America. You mentioned last week, you know, he's coming on the September 23rd. Yes. It seems to be a significant date of some kind.
Well, five represents change, you know, if you're doing numerology. Two and three is a five. We'll see. We'll find out what he has to say. But, you know, based on a lot of things... everybody's radar should be up. You know, if they are not, if any of our leaders or any of our government are not making steps to protect all of humanity, and they are taking steps just to protect the elite, then you know what they're doing. Okay? Because the needs, quote Spock, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. It is that way. It has always been that way. Okay? Just is. You know, the other races, you know, they don't protect a small group and say, well, the hell with everybody else. Oh, my God. There wouldn't be any civilizations out there if they did that.
Okay, so... And there's another question from Beck. Good questions, Beck. Alex, is it important to know your soul family? And if so, how does one go about finding out?
You know, that's an interesting question. And the only way that I can respond to that is that, you know, there are many, many times in life where you meet someone and you already know them. It's a recognition. And Vesalius once made a comment regarding love, and he said, love is just a recognition of having known someone before and had a trusting relationship with them before. That's kind of what love is. But of course, you know, they experience it much different than we do, and I can't express that to you because, you know, I've not had that actual experience myself of experiencing love on fifth density. I don't know what that is. But this was his perspective. And then there was someone here on Earth who used the who said that the best definition of love that I've ever heard, me personally, is that love is friendship on fire. And I think when you have that, or when you recognize someone and you build an instant bond, that's clearly a soul family. Those are people that you have known before. Okay? And I certainly have had that experience. But, you know, my circle of close best friends is relatively small. You know, it's five or six. And I'm blessed to have those five or six. I have many people that I really appreciate, that I know, that I associate with every day, you know, but I'm still learning who they are. I haven't seen all their faces yet, and we've talked about that before. You know, until I know all their faces and they know all my faces, you know, we're still learning each other. We're discovering who each other is. But that recognition, that initial recognition comes, I think, from a soul knowing that we have known this person, this being before.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
They're coming soon here.
They're coming soon, and that's the thing. The question is, the 14 races that you said have been freed from the consortium, are these the ones that are hanging around in our solar system helping us out? I mean, are we all kind of pulling together and cleaning this thing up?
I don't know how many of them are here, if any of the 14 are here. I know the Procyons are here, but I honestly can't tell you at this point. I don't have any information regarding that.
Okay, thank you. So, yeah, the Procyons, these are the guys who worked out that you could work with sound. They use sonic weapons to defeat the Cabal.
Everything is frequency.
Everything
is frequency. Yep. Exactly. Light, color, sound. That's what everything is made of.
Yeah, and I've been working a lot, as I was telling you last week, about my little devices, and this device is about color. And I you were saying before about the Andromedans, and they're saying we've got all the technology here. I wonder if I could build a holographic camera. We'll see. Watch this space, folks. So now we're coming up to lunchtime. Here's a question. Do the A's? What are the A's? Do the A's consume orms, orbitally, like monatomic golds and stuff like that? Or is it just a bit of a, food? Do you have lunch? I mean, obviously, you know, lunch would be about, like, day 13 of your visit if they were having what's the deal?
They are fruitarians. They're fruitarians. They eat fruit, which they grow themselves on their starships. And they freeze-dry it through a process, and they turn it into little tablets, and they carry those tablets with them when they leave the mothership, and they're doing science expeditions or whatever it is that they're doing. If the ships are not big enough to have orchards to grow their own fruit, then what they're doing is they have these tablets. And I tried one of these tablets once, and it was a huge disaster for me. I threw up all over the craft because it had so much oxygen in it. I went into a detox like that. And, and I insisted on trying it. I talked a lot of smack. it all came back on me. And then it all came out of me. Oh. That is not my proudest moment. So anyway, they're fruitarians. As far as the minerals and things that are in the soil, I do not know. I don't have that information.
Right. That'd be an interesting thing to find out about how to grow fruit that has oxygen richness. Do they use, this is again a corollary to that, so if they grow fruit on board, can they start with a seed and then time accelerate it in a little zone in the ship so that the plant grows and matures very quickly?
I would assume so. I would assume they could do something like that. But I don't have any experience. I've not spent a lot of time or hardly any time in their orchards to actually see how fast they grow. But then again, I would have slept through most of it anyway. Because I needed so much sleep because of the difference in the concepts of time. So, but I don't have that experience to tell you a definitive yes, but I would think with the ability of their evolved technology that yes, they could.
So, again, going back, did you actually try any of the non-dried fruit, the non-pill form?
No. That was never offered to me.
All right.
No. And the tablet, Mornay broke it and then broke it again and then broke off a tiny little piece. And my first impression was that it sort of tasted like hay, here on the planet. Not that I've eaten hay, but I mean, I've eaten grass as a kid. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're around fresh cut hay, you can smell it. You can taste it in your mouth.
Yeah.
It started like that. And as soon as I chewed it, I was like, oh, my God, I was in trouble. And I knew it. I knew it. I was in trouble. So
did you feel better afterwards?
No, I was humiliated.
Oh, sorry. Oh, bless your heart. And did the ship? No, so okay. So you made a mess on the ship, right? Did the ship? How did? Who did that? Were there people with brooms and mops, or did the ship just go and clean it up? Or how did that happen?
I can tell you that some of the looks that I saw in my periphery were like shocked, and Mornay just took me by the shoulder and said, "Come with me." And he just moved me out of the control room, which is where this whole thing happened, into a hallway. I don't know what happened afterwards. I just know that I wanted to go back to Earth immediately and just crawl under a rock.
Oh, go to bed for a while, yeah.
So needless to say, I was not offered anything after that.
So coming over for a cup of tea is a cup of tea and a pill is not the the invite that we're going to be looking for. That's a fascinating thing. Right, okay. So here we go. Strictly fruit, only vegetables.
I have like 5 more minutes.
Okay, all right, so let's cover this last one, and this is, again, several questions have been asked about that. The grid around the planet, Sandy's saying, what about the grid around the planet, keep us on the reincarnation world? Is this something that is going to be taken away, dismantled? What keeps it going, do you know, anything like that?
Gosh, you know, that's a very long explanation, and I would have to give some history of how that whole thing was structured. We have the Archons to thank for that. But it is going away. The simple answer is yes, that's all going away. We will have an opportunity, I'm told, once our DNA turns on, to make choices as to where we want to be. But, what we need is memory. We need to have our memories back so that we know what these choices are. Because parts of our cellularly, our body remembers, but we have to get past our subconscious to our conscious mind to be able to make these decisions. And right now our subconscious has been filled with limitation and fear. And we need to get past that. And my understanding is that this is all part of the process.
So,
but I don't know what that looks like yet. I don't know what that looks like yet.
So, Alex, I think this is an opportune moment to thank you very much for getting here. You're looking good. You're looking much, a lot more well. It's been a lovely conversation to have with you today.
Thank you, folks. I appreciate those of you who took time out of your day to be on the webinar. It means the world to me, and you mean the world to me. And I promise I'll never give up. I'll continue to do what we have to do and defend humanity. You have my word on that. God bless.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much, everybody. And, we'll see you at the next one. Thank you very much.